We welcome you to this special baptism service. Trust the Lord will bless you as we meet for a few moments around His Word. And then as we baptize this young child into the covenant. It's not my purpose today to give a full explanation or a full defense of infant baptism. But I do want us to understand something of its significance, something of its purpose, something of the blessing that it has for the people of God. And as Joel and Lisa today bring Lydia for this baptism, I pray that us as a congregation, as a church, would join with them in the celebration of the goodness of God, rejoicing in the promise that God has given to them concerning the salvation in His time of this young child. I'm going to read some scripture, make some very general comments, and then I'll have Joel and Lisa to come for the baptism. But reading the Word of God, first of all, in Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And then the special word of purpose and promise that God gave to Abraham from Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. For I know him. I have known him especially, the Lord said. I have known him on purpose. I have selected him for this very purpose, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. But I emphasize the text is speaking of that election of Abraham, not only of his election to salvation, but here particularly of his election to fatherhood. For this very purpose, that he might instruct his children. And then notice the very wonderful promise that God gives to Abraham as he fulfills that purpose. They, that is his children, shall keep the way of the Lord. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the well-known text, Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with them, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gate. From all of these texts of Scripture, we learn some very important things. We learn, first of all, that children are God's gracious gift to parents. Psalm 127 reminds us that children are the gift of God. They are a source of joy. They are a source of benefit to the parent. And as parents recognize that all life is the gift of God, they gladly return and they gladly dedicate their child back to the Lord. Joel and Lisa have well recognized that young Lydia is the gracious gift to them from God. And it is today the desire of their heart to commit this child back to the Lord, recognizing, acknowledging that this child belongs first and foremost unto the Lord Himself. But while children are a great gift to parents, there is a very real sense in which parents are the gift to children. And parents, therefore, have a great responsibility placed upon them by God to be the representative of God to this child. And Joel and Lisa, it's a very sobering thing for you to realize. The very first thing that Lydia is going to know about God, she is going to learn from you. She's going to learn from your example. She's going to learn from the word that you keep before her on a regular basis. And just as Abraham was chosen by God for the purpose of instructing his children, for the purpose of teaching them the things of God in Lydia's behalf, the Lord has chosen you that you might be the instrument to bring this child to the knowledge of God. It is for this reason that the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 14 that those children that are born into Christian homes, even if there is but one believing parent, that that child is designated as a holy child. And if that be true for a child born into a home where there is but one Christian parent, how doubly true that is in this case, as in the providence of God, Lydia has been born into your home where both of you profess and confess Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Scripture has, by divine authority, identified Lydia as a holy child. Born in sin, born in desperate need of Christ, but yet born into a family that has placed her in a special distinction, in a special privilege, apart from other children. Other children born into homes that know not God will not have the advantages and the spiritual benefits that this child is going to have. It's a holy child, distinct and separate by the grace of God and the covenant of God that has given her to you, has placed her in a Christian home, and therefore in a place of special advantage, a place of special privilege that belongs uniquely to those that are born into the professing church of Jesus Christ. And as parents, therefore, you must pray for her. You must discipline her. You must raise her in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. Text that we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6 puts this religious instruction as the way of life. Whether you go in or go out, whether you sit down or whether you rise up, it is to be the testimony and the instructions that you give to this child that the Lord, our God, is one Lord. And that she is to grow as you have come to confess that you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. An awesome responsibility. And if you don't fulfill these, and this is the sobering thing that ought to be weighing upon your shoulders, that if you do not fulfill these responsibilities of keeping the Word of God and the person of our Savior before this child, there becomes a very real sense that this child has lost the privilege into which she has been born. What makes her holy, not anything special about her, I emphasize, that this child is just as guilty of Adam's sin as any other child. This child is just as much in need of saving grace as any other child. What makes her special is not her inherent nature. What makes her special is the fact that she's been born to Joel and Lisa, members of the body of Christ. There is a promise, therefore, that I want to put to you, a promise that I know you've already claimed. And that's why you're here today. I believe the Scripture teaches that religion is, above all things, a family affair. And both in the Old Testament dispensation and in the New Testament dispensation, there is a special stress placed upon the family. And the promise was given to Abraham and to his seed. And it's not without significance that on the day of Pentecost, as Peter is there preaching the gospel at the beginning of what we regard as this new dispensation, that he makes the same promise. That this promise of Christ, this promise of the gospel, this promise of life and salvation is not only to you, but it is to your seed. A promise to Abraham and a promise to us. It's not that which is to be taken just in terms of Old Testament law. For this promise was given to Abraham before the giving of the law in that Mosaic dispensation. It's a promise that belongs to all those who are of the seed of Abraham. Every believer can claim that promise, and you are here today to claim that promise. That salvation is not just for yourself. But it is to extend to this seed that God in His grace has given to you. And claim the promise. I emphasized and pointed out as we read that text from Genesis chapter 18 that in the fulfilling of the purpose that God had chosen Abraham for, there was the wonderful promise that there would be the fulfillment of that because the children would keep, they shall keep those commandments. What a promise that is. A promise that we indeed can claim. But claiming any promise is a matter of faith. It's one thing to see the promise written. It's quite another thing to, by faith, lay hold of that promise and to claim that promise, appropriate that promise for yourself. And this gesture, this ceremony that we are about to observe, we understand as an evidence, a token, a demonstration of your faith that God has given you the promise in behalf of this child, and God will fulfill that promise of bringing this child into the covenant of life. We believe that baptism is a symbol of the exercise of that faith. In the Old Testament, circumcision was given to Abraham as the external sign of the union that that child was to have within that covenant community. Very clear in the Old Testament that that circumcision did nothing to affect any kind of a spiritual reality. The emphasis was constantly upon the circumcision of the heart. It's not enough to have, even in the Old Testament, the flesh circumcised. The heart had to be circumcised. But yet, God gave to Abraham and those that followed in that Old Testament order, gave to them this visible token, this visible sign, that would mark them out and mark their children out as members of that visible community of the nation of Israel ultimately, circumcision before Israel. Say it marked them out as members of the family of Abraham. Members of the family of Abraham that received the great promise that ultimately had its focus and its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. But the circumcision, I emphasize, did nothing except to be that visible testimony, that outward token of the claiming of the promise that this child would ultimately come into the personal and the individual experience of everything the covenant of grace testified to in relationship to Christ. We believe that in this New Testament dispensation, that what baptism does is the same symbol as what circumcision did in the Old Testament. In Colossians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul makes a most significant parallel between circumcision and baptism. He speaks of that circumcision without hands that brought them into union with Christ. And there he speaks of that baptism without water that brings us into union with Christ. There is a spiritual connection between circumcision and baptism. It is not the water of baptism that does anything more than the knife of circumcision in affecting any spiritual relationship with God. But just as that external mark of circumcision was a token, a sign, an outward sign that marked identification into the visible community of believers, so it is that Christian baptism becomes a means, becomes an outward sign, an outward token of identifying oneself, in this instance of one's child, as a member of the visible church. I emphasize, it marks this child as a member of the visible church. It is only the Spirit of God that can place one in the invisible church. It is only the Spirit of God that can regenerate a dead heart and a dead soul and effect saving grace. Baptism, whether it be the baptism of an infant or the baptism of an adult, does absolutely nothing to affect a spiritual reality. But it is a beautiful picture. It is a beautiful token of what that spiritual reality is. And by the water of baptism, today we are going to set Lydia apart. We are going to publicly identify her as being a member of the visible church of Jesus Christ. She has so been born. She has so been born into this community, into the home of Joel and Lydia and Lisa, and into the community of this particular local assembly, born into this church. And baptism becomes a means whereby we publicly make that identification, whereby we publicly recognize the grace of God that has brought this child into this community. And we claim the promise. And Joel and Lisa particularly claim the promise that what is here recognized and what is here publicized through this ceremony, through this ritual, through this sacrament, it's an act of faith that one day, in the will of God, one day in the timing of God, in the purpose of God, He'll fulfill His promise that this child who was born into this visible church will, by the power of the Spirit of God, be brought into the invisible church and placed really and truly and for all eternity in the body of Jesus Christ. We're marking this child out beforehand. marking this child out beforehand by faith in the promise of God. And here is, I say, the appropriation by faith of that promise that God has given. With the confidence that God will keep His word. With the confidence and the assurance that this is no simple biological phenomenon that has brought this child into this home. But the grace of God. That the day will come and we mark this child out, therefore, by baptism. Claiming this child. For Christ. Claiming this child by public testimony. That she will, one day, accept the God of her parents in fulfillment of that promise. It is then to this end that Joel and Lisa bring Lydia Ann for this Christian baptism. I'm going to ask them, please, if they would come to the platform. Joel, Lisa. Do you testify before God that you personally know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you swear before God that as the Holy Spirit enables you, you will live exemplary and Christ-like lives before this child? Do you vow before God that you will bring up this child in the knowledge of the Scripture, in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? And do you vow and promise before God that you will fervently pray that God will eventually bring this child into the knowledge of Himself and to effect that union with Christ that this sacrament symbolizes? Lydia Ann Pankratz, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Lydia Ann, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, again we express our thanks and our praise for the life, the physical life of this young child. We're thankful, Lord, for the testimony of her parents. We're thankful, Lord, for the vow before God and before these witnesses that her parents have made concerning the raising and the instruction of this child. Lord, we do pray that that which we have just publicly marked as we have identified this one as being a member of the visible community, the time will come in your providence, the day will come according to your grace, that little Lydia will come to a personal and to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, accept our thanks. We're thankful for your presence here. We're thankful, Lord, for the great privilege that we have to claim the promises of the Word of God. Give us faith, O Lord. Increase our faith, O Lord, that that which you have revealed to us indeed is true. I do pray for Joel and Lisa as they raise this child, that they would do so with faithfulness and with zeal and with fervency, always mindful of the word of promise that you have given to them. And may this child come to experience day by day the privilege that she has of being born into this home. So, Lord, hear our prayer. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, thank you for coming. Trust that you will be in prayer for this young couple, this child, and for all the children of this church, whether we have so marked them by baptism or no. They all belong to this visible church. And it places a great responsibility upon the parent, yes, but upon us all within this community, not to do anything to so jeopardize, to so be an obstacle or a hindrance to the preaching and the teaching and the ultimate understanding of the gospel on behalf of our children. May God save Lydia. May God save all of our children for Christ's sake.